It's not raining now in Thailand, but the flooding will continue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Things are drying out in Thailand, sort of. But because of the geography there, floodwaters are still flowing from the countryside into the capital city of Bangkok. Today, more than one-third of that city's districts are under some sort of evacuation order, and flooding could last for a couple more weeks, further disrupting the world supply chain. The BBC's Rachel Harvey is in Bangkok with the latest. Hey, Rachel.
Hello there.
How much more damage can two more weeks of flooding create?
It could create quite a lot more damage because the longer these floods persist, the longer this crisis goes on, then the more, both in terms of human damage but also economic damage, this is causing. There is the threat to another bunch of factories. That means potentially more workers that are going to be temporarily out of work. So the longer this goes on, the worse it seems to get.
A lot of people didn't realize, Rachel, that Thailand was such a key manufacturing base. Where does Thailand sit in the global supply chain?
It is a key point of transit for both computer parts, hard drives in particular, but also auto parts. It supplies other parts of the world, but it also has assembly plants here. So in both cases in the auto industry, but also the parts shortage is causing big problems much further afield. In the United States and in Europe, for instance, Honda has had to cut production. Same with computer hard drives. Looking ahead towards the Christmas rush, there are already worries that they're just not going to be able to get the kind of parts that they will need. So it is a crucial hub in this region, not just for Asia, but much further afield.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey in Bangkok. Rachel, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed right now. In Europe, the German and French shares are lower, but the German and French shares are higher. The London shares are lower at the moment. Best Buy said today it's going to pay $1.3 billion to buy out its British partner in a mobile phone business, and it's giving up on plans to open superstores in Europe and Asia. Friday, stocks here at home were lower. The Dow slipped about 0.5%, 61 points, to end the day at 11,983.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou says he could step down as early as today when a new government takes over. That parliament's going to have to push through some big cuts needed for a rescue package. And that means the focus could now shift next door to Italy, where that country's cost to borrow has skyrocketed. From the European desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The interest rate that the Italian government has to pay has hit a record high of 6.5%. That's for borrowing money for a 10-year term, and it stretches Italy's finances to the limit. Analysts say that if the rate reaches 7%, it's game over. The country won't be able to raise enough taxes to pay the interest. Italy will then be staring default in the face. Investors are clearly rattled. Italy has the world's third biggest national debt, $2.6 trillion worth. And, says Vincenzo Scarpetta of the Open Europe think tank, doubts are intensifying that Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is able to handle the crisis. Tomorrow he could face a vote of confidence in the Italian parliament.
Berlusconi doesn't have the numbers, so it's a matter of arithmetic. As things stand at the moment, he just can't win the vote.
If he loses, Berlusconi could be forced to resign. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
That confidence vote in Italy is very much like the one that took place in Greece after the Greek prime minister last week originally hailed and then scrapped plans for a public vote on that country's big budget cuts. Well, the U.S. is racked with a lot of debt. Could a national referendum on cuts happen here at home? Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now to talk about it. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
All right, so the Greek prime minister is on the verge of stepping down, and of course he scrapped his plan last week for a national referendum on those big government cuts. What about here at home? I mean, couldn't we just forget about all this super committee stuff in the Congress and just go directly to the people?
Well, there are only two minor problems with this, Steve.
Okay, give them to me.
The first one is, what question exactly would you ask them to vote yes or no on? Which, you know, is not clear. And the second thing is, how would you conduct a referendum, since we've never had one in the United States? How would you do it?
A national referendum for everybody across the country.
Sure. Okay. Well, as soon as you've set up all the voting systems, let me know. At least in Greece, there is at least some understanding of what it is the government is proposing to do, and you can vote. And forgive my Greek pronunciations. Uh-huh. Neh. Or ohi.
Oh, very well. That's good. That's good.
Well, all I need is 10,000 more words and I could become Greek.
By the way, he said yes or no.
It's so hard here because there are so many different opinions. And if I asked you to say in 20 words or less, what is it you're asking people in the United States to say yes or no on, I couldn't do it. I don't think you could do it.
What does this say to you, Alan, the fact that we're having so much trouble just articulating this? What does it say to you about our political situation today?
Well, it says our political situation is a mess. Of course, it's always a mess. But now it's messier than ever because everything here is now so divisive and so bizarre. You know, they're speaking different languages. We might have to have three or four different language versions of our question if we ever can figure out what it was.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan in New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, with signs consumer spending is making a rebound, the website called Bundle did a little analysis. Which U.S. cities are the biggest for shopaholics? And by shopaholics, they mean the people who buy the most clothing, shoes, and other items we wear. Seattle ranked 8th. Nashville, Tennessee, 3rd. Who's number one? Washington, D.C., where the average resident spends $263 a month on wearable items. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In France, bread is a way of life, and so are the bakeries that make it fresh every day.
They help to really construct the landscape of French ontology, of French being, of French identity.
But bakeries ain't 24/7, you know. I'm Kai Rizdal. Paris gets a baguette vending machine, believe it or not. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.